Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Guess what today is?
Well, it is Saturday, which means...
Q&A Saturday! And I'm really excited about it!
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. You threw me off again.
I know. Well, I wasn't sure if I wanted to shout or sing, so I kind of did boom.
Got it. And what are we Q&A and A-ing today?
We are going over some Baruch shit.
Baruch shit, huh?
Yeah, like these were some of the questions that we had. What happened to Jeremiah and Baruch? Are there any other legends, stories, or traditions about them? Did Baruch go on with the remnant in Egypt? Or did he go back to Babylon? Did they both just die and disappear into the annals of history? How did Baruch put together Jeremiah's story? At what point did it become official OT material?
Okay.
We had all these questions.
I mean, yeah. I didn't realize we had so many questions, but I want to know all that.
I was sitting there and I was like, I need to know these things.
Right.
I answer most of them today.
Okay. Are you ready to do this?
I am so fucking ready to do this.
Then let's do it.
Okie dokie.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Baruch, Baruch, Baruch is on fire.
You have been dying to do that. I know you have.
Yes.
You mentioned, I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but you mentioned that was what it reminded you of. Mm-hmm. I don't know mm-hmm. why.
But it did.
Because it's...
And now I can't hear his name without thinking of that fucking reference. So, thanks for that.
We're going to learn about him today.
Yeah, I know.
Q&A.
You like one of your last chances to get that out.
So true. I mean...
You just had to do it.
There's only so much of Jeremiah left.
Yeah.
And then...
Especially Baruch, maybe.
Although, I think Lamentations follows Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Baruch wrote that one too, or Jeremiah. Oh, really? Did, or both of them did together. Okay. I don't know. There's some shit.
We'll find out when we get there, right?
Yeah. All right. So listen to this.
I'm listening.
Okay. So remember when we had to go back in time, right? Because up through chapter 44 was like this neat narrative, and then they went away into Egypt, right?
Yeah. And then we went back like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, just kidding. It never happened yet.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So that's where we're going to start here. Okay.
Okay.
Both Baruch and Jeremiah witnessed the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem of 587 to 586 BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the siege of Jerusalem, while in prison, Jeremiah purchased an estate in Anathoth. Remember that?
Yes.
On which the Babylonian armies had encamped, as a symbol of faith in the eventual restoration of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yep. And Baruch continued to reside with him at Mizpah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like catching us up to, give us a little background.
Recap.
Yeah. Yeah. So Baruch was carried with Jeremiah to Egypt, where according to tradition, he soon died.
Okay. Oh.
So... But there's other stories out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two other traditions state that he later traveled or was taken by force to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar after that king's conquest of Egypt.
Okay.
And
wait, conquest of Egypt. I thought he attacked Egypt and it didn't go so well.
Right.
So that's okay.
Conquest is probably the wrong word.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so, fought on attempt. The outskirts of Egypt or
right.
something. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, he tried. It was a battle.
And he probably won a battle or two or something.
Sure.
But he didn't conquest.
No. No. Conquest is way too strong an adjective or verb there.
Right.
Or noun, whatever the fuck it is.
Sure.
Anyway, another rabbinic tradition suggests that Baruch returned to Babylon after he witnessed Jeremiah's death by stoning. And buried his body.
See, that's the one I was thinking probably happened.
Right?
Because they didn't like Jeremiah at all.
At all. They stoned his ass, and not in the good way.
Yeah.
So rabbinical literature describes Baruch as a faithful helper and a blood relative of Jeremiah, which I didn't know.
I didn't either.
I think they were like distant cousins maybe or some shit.
Okay, all right.
So Baruch and Jeremiah being descendants of the proselyte Rahab. Do you remember Rahab?
Rahab was a good un. I do.
Okay. Yeah. So this must have served as a humiliating example to their contemporaries because... They were like, you know, the people who are around them, right?
Yeah.
Were looking at them like, how far you've fallen.
Got it.
Because y'all are talking shit. You're getting beat up in public. You're going to jail.
Right.
And, you know, you're doing this weird, wacky God stuff. And, your family must be so embarrassed.
But still, his book ended up in the Bible somehow.
But they didn't know that at the time.
Right.
And remember... during our last episode, we suggested that perhaps it was because Baruch was such a good salesman.
Right.
Which I tend to think maybe is the case.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So, these guys belong to the few who hearkened to the word of God, right?
Yeah.
You know, nobody else in their family, like, we don't know them. They weren't, like, hardcore prophesizing.
Prophets.
Doing the
prophets.
Doing the prophecies.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, okay. One Midrash, you know, that's the Jewish writings.
Yeah.
Okay. One Midrash regards Baruch as synonymous with the Ethiopian Abed-Melech, the guy who pulled Jeremiah out of the jail.
Okay.
Who rescued Jeremiah from the dungeon and states that he received his name, Baruch, which means blessed, because of his piety. Recall, Abed-Melech meant servant to the king. So there was like a question over whether that was his actual name or title. And even if it was his name, it was a nameless name.
I call bullshit on that one. Okay. I mean, only because Abed-Melech was like right at the end, right before they got captured by Babylon, or like right before the city fell at Babylon. Mm-hmm. Right. So like that story about him was there, and Baruch definitely was in the story before that.
Yes, so, I hear you, and I don't disagree with you. I just am going to point out, though, that all this shit is out of order.
Right.
And it would have been possible that he was granted a name, Blessed, to replace his previous position title of King Servant Guy.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, it is a possibility.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. According to one story, though, because Baruch's piety might have prevented the destruction of the temple, God commanded Baruch to leave Jerusalem before the catastrophe so as to remove Baruch's protective presence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to this account, I didn't know Baruch
was so important, honestly.
Well, he had so much piety. It was such a goody-goody.
I see.
Okay? Uh-huh. Even better than Jeremiah, right?
I didn't know that.
Right? No, I mean,
they didn't make that clear in the Bible.
No. This is just another story out there. Other stories, okay? Right.
Yeah.
According to this account, Baruch then saw from Abraham's oak at Hebron the temple set on fire by angels who previously had hidden the sacred vessels.
I see.
Right?
So it was angels that burned down the temple.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm gathering stories.
I
feel stories.
Like maybe if that's the story, I think he might have been on drugs. So.
Sure.
Just saying.
Probably. So there's this group of rabbinic sages whose views are recorded in the Mishnah, from approximately 10 to 220 current era CE.
Okay.
They are called the Tanaim.
Okay.
Tanaim.
All right.
Okay, and they were very divided on the question of whether Baruch should be classified among the prophets.
Oh, Baruch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, was he a prophet? No, but he was very...
Important
and good.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Like, I know we're not at the New Testament yet, but, like, Mary gets classified with them, and she wasn't doing any prophets.
Right.
You know? She didn't do prophet shit.
Sure.
She just merely carried the Christ child in her body.
Right.
But, so I'm just saying, like, there are examples of people not being prophets who get prophet status.
Got it.
So, why should he be different? So, according to one of these guys, the Tanaim, Baruch complained because the gift of prophecy had not been given to him. Remember, we talked about that?
Yeah.
And Baruch therefore found consolation in the fact that when Israel was exiled to Babylon, there was no longer occasion for prophecy.
Okay.
So he's like, good. If I can't be a prophet, nobody can. That's like the people that are like, I had to pay for college and be in debt for thousands of years and millions of dollars.
So everybody should.
Everybody else has to as well.
Right.
Okay, so there's a different one of those Tanaim guys, okay, those sagey guys. Mm-hmm. And that guy, as well as the Talmud, they do include Baruch among the prophets and state that he prophesied in the period following the destruction.
Oh.
So there is not agreement as to whether or not he's classified as a prophet.
Got it. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. It was in Babylonia also that Ezra studied the Torah with Baruch.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, wow. I didn't realize that those tours overlapped.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Like, this going back and forth in time is really confusing when you're trying to line up. Wait, you said somebody... His contemporaries. Who were his contemporaries? Because I don't hold year number things in my brain.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, he was there with Ezra. Okay.
Yeah.
And they was doing their studying together.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yep.
And he did not think of returning to Judea during his teacher's lifetime, since he considered the study of the Torah more important than the rebuilding of the temple. And thus, Baruch could not join the returning exiles by reason of his age.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So That was some Jewish legends, okay?
Got it.
Some Christian legends, especially from Syria and Arabia. Oh my God, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Identify Baruch with Zoroaster, a.k.a. Zarathustra.
Okay.
You know that guy, Zarathustra? Like, no. There's that philosophy book, Thus Spake Zarathustra.
Okay. Oh. It vaguely rings a bell.
I thought that was the one that you made me read.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you made me read some philosophy book, and the dude's name
is Siddhartha?
Oh, Siddhartha. Never mind. Oh, shit. Okay.
Like way
yeah,
something
totally different. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I had my letters confused.
Yeah.
Like a Z and a S. They kind of make similar sounds. And so, like, that's how I store names sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I fucked that up. But anyway, so Baruch was sometimes identified with Zarathustra, a religious reformer and the spiritual founder of Zoroastrianism.
Okay.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
Because what the fuck is that about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In about 1000 BCE, he founded the first documented monotheistic religion in the world.
Oh.
And also had an impact on Plato, Pythagoras, and the Abrahamic religions, including Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that maybe is where I've heard this before, like as a precursor to, you know, God, essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Zoroastrians believe that he was a prophet who transmitted God's messages and founded a religious movement that challenged the existing traditions of ancient Iranian religion.
Okay.
So it's a common belief, but only in one small area.
Sure.
So, like, if you're in that circle, it's super common. You go out of that circle and not so much.
Right, right.
But still.
Yeah.
These Christian legends give much information concerning Baruch. Okay.
Okay.
So, listen to this.
Remind me again, how does Baruch relate to the Zoro whatever?
He might be that guy.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They're saying
but if this was founded 1,000 years BCE, how does that even come close to Baruch?
I don't know.
Okay.
What the fuck do I know?
All right.
I'm just telling you what the story says.
Yeah.
Okay. So, angry because the gift of prophecy had been denied him. I mean, we talk about that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
He was so salty.
Yeah.
And on account of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, he left Israel to found the religion of Zoroaster. Okay.
Okay.
The prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus and the story of the adoration of the Magi is also ascribed to Baruch Zoroaster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that those stories predated Christianity.
Yeah.
So
it's not hard to believe that somebody was out there singing that song.
It's interesting that maybe this guy is the original.
He's the OG.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It is difficult to explain the origin of this curious identification of a prophet with a magician, such as Zoroaster, was held to be.
Okay.
Among the Jews, Christians, and Arabs. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Right.
Okay. So one thought is that in Arabic, the name of the prophet Jeremiah is almost identical with that of the city of Jeremiah, where it is said Zoroaster lived.
Okay.
So, I don't...
Sure.
I'm like, I think you're stretching, but okay.
Right.
In some stories, Zoroaster was believed to be a descendant of Ham.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
And according to Genesis chapter 10, Cush, the Ethiopian, is a son of Ham. According to this tale, the Persians believed that Zoroaster had been taken into heaven in a chariot. And according to the Jewish legend, the above-mentioned Ethiopian was transported alive into paradise, an occurrence that, like the translation of Elijah, must have taken place by means of a vehiculum.
A vehiculum, huh?
Which I had to look that up. It just is some physical transport. Transportation.
Got
that's
it.
Where the word vehicle comes
Got
from.
It. So that's why, like, there was it Samuel or one? No.
Who was it? Elijah.
Oh, it was Elijah. Okay, yeah. He went into heaven in a chariot.
Yeah, they call that translation.
Got it.
He was translated into.
But there has to be a vehicle, essentially, to get them there somehow.
Yes.
So that's why they're in a chariot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The Catholic Church considers Baruch a saint.
Wow.
And his official feast days are September 28th and November 15th.
Got it.
And that is a whole different bag of worms. We're going to put a pin in that.
Yeah.
But we mentioned way back, like a couple years ago, that we wanted to do maybe an episode on like saints, sainthood, saint feast days. Like,
well, I feel like maybe like when we're done with the Bible, we should like go, you know, ham on the saints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because like that's something that I've always been curious about.
Same.
And I would like to know more about them. So like, I feel like at some point we got to do a series on, you know, Catholic saints and whatnot.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently
not even the big ones. I'm interested in the small ones even. Cause sometimes you get some really weird, interesting stories out some of the stuff, you know,
it's true. Well, apparently Baruch is one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So I still have more story to go.
Okay. Yeah.
So the location of the tomb of Baruch is unknown. Legends place it a mile away from Ezekiel's tomb near the town of Mashhad Ali. However, there is no record of it actually existing.
Okay.
Rabbinic sources reported that a strange plant, the leaves of which are sprinkled with gold dust, grows on the site of his grave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And other legends.
We don't know where it is, but we know that there's a strange plant.
With gold dust on it.
That's okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Other legends suggest that the tomb is said to have been miraculous as well.
Oh, damn. He's like Jesus, huh?
Yeah. It was supposedly a place for Jewish pilgrimage.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Doesn't that sound fun? Let's go on a trip.
This guy's kind of a big deal, maybe.
Right?
Sort of.
He's a big deal in that his name is like sprinkled through various legends.
Yeah.
So it's like,
he almost made it. He was almost famous, right? Yeah.
He's like the guy who was like, he wrote a really good blog, and if he had kept at it, like
he might have made it someday.
Because everybody knew about his blog, but like nobody knew about his blog except for other bloggers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was big in his circle.
Sure.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, there is actually a tomb within a mosque in Al-Kafil, a town in southeastern Iraq on the Euphrates River that is dedicated to Baruch.
Really?
Yeah. And corresponding with the earlier legend, it is located near to the supposed tomb of Ezekiel, which is also in the same building.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, okay, we have more.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, give me more.
Right.
Okay. So the book of Baruch is a deuterocanonical book of the Bible.
Wait, there's a book of Baruch?
There's a book of fucking Baruch.
You gotta be kidding me.
There's 8 fucking books of Baruch.
What?
Right? Yeah. Like, wow. Hello, I'm sorry. What? But they're considered deuterocanonical.
Okay.
Meaning whoever wrote, you know, Deuteronomy on forward.
Yeah.
Like, it belongs to that canon.
Okay.
And it's used in many Christian traditions, such as Catholic and Orthodox churches.
Huh.
So the first and the second one particularly, like, yeah, there's the first and second books of Baruch. What?
Really?
Yeah. What? Didn't you know that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, me neither. Right.
Like, what's a fucking Baruch? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
He's a thing. He's a guy.
Right. Yeah.
He's
taking on a lot more importance than I thought he deserved or had.
He's got mad swag.
Apparently.
He's got riz. In Judaism and Protestant Christianity, it is considered not to be part of the canon. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're like, get that shit out of here.
We're kind of surprised by this. So,
yeah. And the Protestant Bibles categorize it as a part of the biblical apocrypha.
Okay.
You know, they're like, that's not real. It doesn't get stapled in with these that are also not real, but we like them.
Which that whole thing just really just blows me away. So sort of like, I don't.
Like, how is what ended up in the Bible more real and more like God given or what the fuck ever than whatever Baruch said, which backed up Jeremiah.
I think we reached a certain point in Bible history, like the history of the Bible, where these certain religions had their set pieces that they were reading, and they're like, this is all there is.
Well, we know that that happened with the printing press.
Right, right.
Once they became common, it's like, oh, this is solid now. It's set in stone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I even made the comment that it's funny, like, when things actually were set in stone back in the day.
Right, they were less set in stone.
Yeah, they could change it willy-nilly anytime, but it's on paper and ink, and we could type some shit up, whatever. Right. But no, it is set in stone.
Sure.
Like that, I just find that ironic.
Yeah.
Okay. So the book of Baruch is named after Baruch ben Neriah, the prophet, Jeremiah's scribe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just to remind you who we're talking about.
Sure.
Who has been presumed to be the author of the whole work, okay?
Okay.
The book is a reflection of a late Jewish writer on the circumstances of Jewish exiles from Babylon, with meditations on the theology and history of Israel, discussions of wisdom, and a direct address to residents of Jerusalem and their diaspora.
Diaspora.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It's one of those words that I know it from reading, and that's the first time I ever said it out loud. You know, like recipe.
What?
Recipe? Yeah. In fifth grade, I had never said that word out loud.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew what it was. I knew what it meant.
Right.
And I said recipe, and oh my God, the class, they were mean. They laughed at me.
Right.
They were all going to laugh at me, and they did.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, because I'm a solid reader. I know so many... I know all the best words, you know, but if you don't hear them pronounced, you don't know.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So don't just
read. I take it your mom didn't use a lot of recipes when you were growing up.
I mean, it's okay. My brain also has this thing where it doesn't connect things. Like she probably said recipe 100,000 times, but I never connected her verbal use of the word
to the written with word.
The written down.
Got
thing.
It. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no.
Okay. All right.
But that's why I'm such a fan of audiobooks and podcasts, because I'm able to hear how words and terms and phrases are actually supposed to be used.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's way off topic. So some scholars propose that the book of Baruch was written during or shortly after the period of the Maccabees.
Okay.
What the fuck are the Maccabees, right?
Well, that's, yeah.
Let's talk about the Maccabees a little bit here.
Sure.
Okay. So the Maccabees were a group of Jewish rebel warriors who took control of Judea, which at the time was part of the Seleucid Empire.
Okay.
They founded the Hasmonean dynasty, which ruled from 167 to 37 BCE. So the Maccabees happened like right after the Babylonian exile.
Wait. You said 167 to 37
BCE.
BCE.
Mm-hmm.
The Babylonian exile happened in 587 BCE.
I thought that was 3 something.
No.
But a lot of this stuff was happening in 300 something.
Okay, but Baruch wouldn't have been anywhere near alive.
No. But we're talking now about the Maccabees.
Okay.
And so the Maccabees founded this dynasty, okay?
Yeah.
And they reasserted the Jewish religion, expanded the boundaries of Judea by conquest, and reduced the influence of Hellenism and Hellenistic Judaism.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you're aware, but Hellenism is Greek influence.
Right. No, like, I haven't. Yeah.
I'm sure you knew that, but there may be somebody out there who didn't.
Yeah.
So that's what Hellen means.
Right.
Hellenistic stuff is Greek stuff.
Okay.
So the Maccabean story is preserved in the books of the first and second Maccabees, which describe in detail the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem and the lighting of the menorah.
Okay.
So it's odd that it's not in our Bible, because it's pretty fucking important, which I thought it was, because I had been looking at a Catholic.
Yeah, you said the other day.
I was like,
I didn't think
I would have bet my life on it.
I didn't want to argue with you.
No, I would have bet my life on it, because I had seen it in a separate Bible
that
I reference sometimes. But it's got more Jewish and some Catholic stuff in it. Right. So yeah. The Maccabees are all up in that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So these books were not part of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible,
okay,
which came from the Jewish canon. However, they were part of the Septuagint, Greek stuff.
Okay.
Which is funny because, like, the Maccabees were trying to get rid of Greek stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
That.
But the Septuagint was written by that Greek pharaoh, which that would have been Egypt, not necessarily Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So the influences would have been different influences.
That's probably, true. So. That's true. Both books are included in the Old Testament used by the Catholic and Orthodox churches.
Okay.
Since those churches consider the books deuterocanonical.
Okay.
So they count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They are not included in the Old Testament books in most Protestant Bibles, since most Protestants consider the books apocryphal.
Got
How
it.
Dare.
Got it.
There are 8 various books of the Maccabees. So not Baruch. I'm sorry. I had Baruch mixed up with the Maccabees.
Okay.
So there's only the one book of Baruch.
I'm a little confused right now.
Remember before when I said there was 8 books
of Baruch? Yeah, yeah.
No, there was only one.
But like Maccabees is, we're jumping ahead hundreds of years though, right?
Yeah, but I don't know why. We're just talking about the Maccabees.
Before we were saying that Baruch wrote 8 books, and now you're saying it's the Maccabees that were written.
Who knows?
We're talking about...
It's all just so confusing and interesting.
Okay.
So there are 8 various books of Maccabees, some written in Hebrew, others in Greek. Okay? The books cover a wide array of genres such as history, philosophy in praise of reason, and poetry and speeches.
Okay, I have to stop you here because I'm really confused as to what is going on.
Okay.
Like, we were talking about Baruch, and now we've jumped to something completely different, it feels like.
Okay.
And I have no idea how we got here.
Okay. So, let me go back up where I first mentioned the Maccabees.
Okay.
So, some scholars propose that the Book of Baruch was written during or shortly after the period of the Maccabees.
So, there are books of Baruch.
No.
Okay.
Some scholars propose that the Book of Baruch, which is, you know, not canon.
Right.
That it was written during or shortly after the period of the Maccabees.
Right. But that says there's a Book of Baruch. I'm struggling here. I'm sorry.
Okay. So this probably happened after Baruch died.
Okay.
So Baruch, he's all sad because his buddy Jeremiah just got stoned. And so he takes Jeremiah's body back to Babylon and buries him and they disappear into history.
Yeah.
Okay. Then later on, the Maccabees happen.
Sure.
Okay. And then they write this book of Baruch.
Okay. So Baruch didn't write any of this shit.
Probably not.
We said differently earlier. So like, I'm just trying to
not
clarify.
Not this part.
Oh my gosh. You are really confusing me here.
Okay. He did not write the Maccabee shit.
Okay. I understand that.
But we're talking about the Book of Baruch right now.
You just told me there's not a Book of Baruch.
There is a Book of Baruch.
Okay, but earlier you told me he wrote it.
Because there are some people who believe he wrote it. I'm telling you all the different stories.
My brain's not working currently, apparently. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, listen.
Okay.
So Baruch is going around writing down Jeremiah's words, right?
Yeah.
And then they get kidnapped into Egypt.
Sure.
And then Jeremiah gets stoned, right? Uh-huh. And then Baruch probably takes Jeremiah's body back to Babylon, right?
Okay.
Baruch may or may not have written a book. If he did, he wrote a book and it's called the Book of Baruch.
Okay.
Yay, the end, right?
Got it.
Okay. But he may not have written it.
Okay.
And then he and Jeremiah, they're in Babylon, they disappear into history. And then a few hundred years later, the Maccabee period comes around, and some of them guys write the Book of Baruch.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And the reason that we're talking about the Maccabees is because what the fuck is a Maccabee, and why are they writing a Book of Baruch?
Right, right.
Okay? So that's where, you know, there's 8 different ones of them, and they were, like, trying to... get rid of Hellenism at the same time that, you know, they're like excited about Greek stuff, like Greek philosophy and Greek logic and reason and stuff. So it's just, they're a really weird group.
Okay.
Don't really understand the Maccabee people.
Sure.
Okay. So these books are not the Maccabee books.
Mm-hmm.
There's eight of them. They are not part of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible.
Right.
Which came from the Jewish canon. However, they were part of the Septuagint, the Greek translation.
Right, right.
Okay. Both books are included in the Old Testament, Maccabees 1 and 2.
For the Catholics and mm-hmm. for the, yeah.
Yeah, and for the Orthodox churches.
Right, right.
Okay. But they're not included in the Old Testament books in most Protestant Bibles because they're apocryphal.
Right.
Okay. Now we're caught up to where, so may I read?
Sure.
Okay. My notes. Okay. There are eight various books of the Maccabees.
Okay.
Okay. Some were written in Hebrew and others were written in Greek.
All right.
The books cover a wide array of genres, such as, do you remember? Because I already said this part. Okay. History, philosophy in the praise of reason, poetry, and speeches.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we're going, we're leaving the Maccabees and we're talking about the book of Baruch.
Okay.
Okay. Whoever wrote it.
Got it.
Okay. It is sometimes referred to as First Baruch to distinguish it from Second Baruch, Third Baruch, and Fourth Baruch.
Okay. Okay. you have got me really fucked up here. Because, like, I asked you if there was a book of Baruch, and you're like, yes, there's eight books of Baruch. And then because, there was, like, a book of Baruch, and now there's four books of Baruch.
Because I got confused. I got the eight number from the Maccabees.
Okay.
There's eight Maccabee books. There's four Baruch books. Okay.
But not just one. There's four.
Yeah.
And possibly Baruch wrote all four, but possibly he didn't.
I'm going to guess he didn't. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, the earliest known manuscripts of these Baruch books were written in Greek.
Okay.
Okay. But although they are not in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Baruch is found in the Septuagint as well as in the Ethiopian Orthodox Bible.
Okay.
Ethiopia just keeps coming up in this.
They
you know?
Really do, yeah.
It's so interesting to mm-hmm. me. Okay. In 80 book Protestant Bibles, like the one that we're reading.
In what? In 80?
80 book. Like there's 80 books.
Okay. Know, oh.
In the
okay.
Bible.
Got it.
You know?
Yeah.
The book of Baruch is a part of the biblical Apocrypha. Apocrypha means no-no.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a no-no.
Right.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Okay. Jerome, you know who Jerome is, right? He's
yeah, we talked about him.
Saint recently. Jerome.
Right.
And he's the one who translated. Did he do the Septuagint? No, he did the Latin, the Vulgate. I think okay. he did the Vulgate.
Okay.
I don't remember I'll which one he did, but I think yeah. he did the Vulgate. Okay. Despite his, yeah, see, I was right. Okay. Despite his misgivings about the Deuterocanonical books, he included Baruch into his Vulgate, the Latin version. And in the Vulgate, it is grouped with the books of the prophets alongside Jeremiah and Lamentations.
Hmm.
So it's just like right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Just dropped it in.
Got
you know?
It. Yeah.
In the Vulgate, the King James Bible, Apocrypha, and many other versions, the letter of Jeremiah. What? What's a letter of Jeremiah?
I don't know.
Is appended to the book of Baruch as a sixth chapter.
Okay.
In the Septuagint and Orthodox Bibles, chapter 6 is usually counted as a separate book called the Letter or Epistle of Jeremiah.
Got it.
What the fuck? Okay, let's read about that a little bit.
All right.
Okay. What is a Letter of Jeremiah?
What is it?
It is also known as the Epistle of Jeremiah, which, you know, that makes sense because right. that is the same word.
Right.
It is a deuterocanonical book of the Old Testament. And this letter is attributed to Jeremiah, and it's addressed to the Jews who were about to be carried away as captives to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like right during that thing that was happening.
Yeah.
Okay. It is included in Roman Catholic Bibles as the final chapter of the Book of Baruch.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's considered Baruch 6.
Got it.
Chapter 6.
Got
okay.
It.
It is also included in Orthodox Bibles, but as a separate book. So it's not listed as Baruch chapter 6. It's listed as its own separate book,
Jeremiah.
The letter of Jeremiah.
Right. Yeah.
So the biblical book of Jeremiah does contain the words of a letter sent by, you know, the book of Jeremiah is what we're reading right now.
Yeah.
It does contain the words of a letter sent by Jeremiah from Jerusalem to the captives in Babylon. That was in Jeremiah chapter 29.
And they kind of alluded to some communication like that in Jeremiah. So
exactly.
Okay.
The letter of Jeremiah portrays itself as a similar piece of correspondence.
Got it.
So this would...
This is just supplemental, essentially.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Most contemporary scholars agree that the author was not Jeremiah, though.
Oh.
Because, of course...
Right.
The author may have been a Hellenistic Jew who lived in Alexandria, but it is difficult to say with certainty. And I love a note that can say,
Right.
The earliest manuscripts containing the Epistle of Jeremiah are all in Greek.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. In recent years, though, the tide of opinion has shifted, and now the consensus is that the letter, in quotes, was likely originally composed, even though the earliest one that we have is in Greek, it was probably originally composed in Hebrew or Aramaic.
Is that apologists saying that, or is that like actual like scholars saying that?
That's scholars saying that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Scholars are... They're dating it based on words that appear. Like, for instance, there was one place where Jeremiah referred to in the letter. He referred to 70 years instead of seven generations.
Okay.
And he would have said 70 years.
Okay.
Because I forget how they came to that conclusion, but there was all this research done into his writing. And apparently he tried to shy away from saying seven generations because that thought like struck his heart or whatever. Like he fucking hated it.
Got it.
So the fact that just little things like that, like just phrasing and translations of words that he used, they're like, I don't know about this. I don't think this was originally in Greek.
Right.
I think what we have is a copy.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
A translated copy.
Right.
Okay. So the letter itself is actually a rant against idols and idolatry, tracks.
Right,
yeah. Right. The work was written with a very serious effort to instruct the Jews not to worship the gods of the Babylonians, but to worship only the Lord.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that tracks.
Yeah, so. Totally. Like he could have written it, even if he didn't.
Yeah.
He might as well have.
Right.
Right. Like I would totally believe you if you said he wrote it.
Right.
So after his rant, he goes on this diatribe. After that, he does this satire where he's like talking about the idols and he's like, bleh, they're so stupid or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he like brings it back. Okay.
Okay.
And so the author warned the Hebrew exiles that during their exile, they would see the worship paid to idols. And the author begged the people not to participate because the idols were created by men without the powers of speech, hearing, or self-preservation.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
So that was a lot of fucking information. Didn't answer all of our questions, but it answered a lot of them.
Created some new ones for me.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. I feel like I contributed to you not following, but I also am going to go out on a limb and say, but you were not following.
Some of
it was me, but some of it was you.
Okay. All right.
So the questions that we originally had were, what happened to Jeremiah and Baruch? Which we told some stories.
Okay? Right, right.
Are there other legends, stories, or traditions about them? Yes. Yes, there are.
Right.
And we discussed them. Did Baruch go on with the remnant in Egypt? Yes. But then no.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
Or did he go back to Babylon? No. And then yes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And how did Baruch put together Jeremiah's story? Nobody knows.
Right.
Any more than we know any of the other ones.
Yeah.
And at what point did it become official OT material? That is probably going to be like one of those Council of Nicaea things where,
right,
you know, those guys at their big conference table, and that'll be a special for another day.
Sure, sure.
Because I don't know a lot about that.
Right. Okay. All right. So that was our Q&A for today?
That was our A and Q.
Answer and question.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that'll do us for today, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then... Let's see. We're going to be back tomorrow with our
Sacrilegious Book Club.
Right. And then I will get the weekly wrap up out. And then we'll be back on Monday with
Jeremiah chapter 46. And I just want to add real quick.
Yeah.
You guys, you should really come to the book club tomorrow and listen, because it actually covers a lot of the time period that we're in.
Huh.
And relates.
Okay.
Like, I was pretty excited about it. So
got it.
I think you'll like it.
Okay. Kay? Sounds good. Well, we'll see you guys then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.